Thank you, Steve. Hey, Bill, can I tell you a little something? Chicago Media Project is the premier Chicago nonprofit organization supporting social issue documentary film. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be announcing the return of the Doc 10 Film Festival. That's going to be happening in March, but tonight a little preview of the fest with a documentary called The Last Laugh, and we have some guests in the studio.
We do, actually. Anthony Kaufman is here, film programmer. Paula Fraley, am I saying the last name right, Paul? I hope I am. Co-founder and CEO of the festival that you just described are both here, and I just found out moments ago that Anthony teaches at the school that my daughter is studying at in New York. So,
is that why you slipped him a 50?
Yeah, I gave him 50 bucks. Which should cover the costs of the school in New York.
One book.
Maybe your salary.
Maybe, possibly. Thanks for being here, guys. Really appreciate it. We all share, everyone in this room shares a love of documentaries. And finally, after years and years of people making incredible documentaries, I think they're finally getting noticed as the art form that they truly are.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the golden age of documentaries, as people, lots of people have said. And, you know, thanks to things like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, I mean, there's just an appetite like there hasn't, we've never seen.
Well, you couldn't find them before unless you went to, like, tonight, the Music Box Theater. You'd have to go out to get them, and it was hard to find them.
No, that's exactly right. But nothing replaces the experience of seeing them in a theater.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's just the wonderful. The Music Box is a great venue. The film is amazing. I'll let Anthony talk a little bit about that.
Well, what we try and do at Doc 10 is have guests with the films. You know, so there's whether it's the filmmakers or a musician who's some, you know, tied to the film, subjects who are actually in the film, and you see these live people, you know, who you've just seen on the screen, and it really takes it out of the screen, kind of into your life.
I think that Q&A session that happens so often with the documentaries really makes it so much more dimensional, doesn't it really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we try and do at all the films. And tonight's screening, the filmmaker, the director and the producer will be there.
Good.
And we were hoping to have some comedians come from, you know, Second City, Chicago. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, maybe someone will show up as a surprise. But
maybe you
way,
should go, Bill.
Oh, I think you should definitely go.
All right,
go.
I'm in. You talked me into it. It's just that simple. Let's talk especially about this film, The Last Laugh, this documentary, because it deals with not just comedy, but what is taboo in comedy, and what are things that you just have to be a little more sensitive about, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, the jumping off point has to do with Nazis. Always a good joke.
Always.
Always a good joke.
Yep. A good launch point.
And I couldn't really deliver the Sarah Silverman joke here on the line, because I'm no Sarah Silverman, but she is really funny, and she says some stuff that someone might find offensive, but I think one of the things the film kind of addresses is, you know, with time comes acceptance.
Yeah.
And the filmmaker really felt like she couldn't make the movie even as soon as 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until really just recently where she felt like, you know, we could make some jokes about this.
Why? What happened in those 5 years that all of a sudden it's a little more safe? The waters are a little more chartered, and it's okay to make fun of certain things that you couldn't 5 years ago. Did something happen?
I think comedians have been approaching everything from 9/11, which, you know, that's even much sooner, and making people laugh a week after the election. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I watched Saturday Night Live, and, you know, they were right on target for a lot of people. That was really too soon.
Yeah.
But you know, it was funny.
Yep.
It was. And you can't change what has happened. And I think about this like when you go to a funeral, like at my mom's funeral. It was really sad, but there are people that would come up and tell a funny story. So even though, yeah, I'm sad that my mom died, but I want to hear this goofy story. We all kind of try to make a situation laughable. Isn't that what we're doing throughout all of life?
Right. I think that there's a real hope in comedy, you know, when you can joke about it, it kind of lifts it above the depressing part of it. And, you know, I really think this question of, you know, can you do comedy in the face of horror, of true horror, is a, you know, pretty apt one for us to be asking.
And the movie, there is a survivor in the film who takes us through kind of her experience. And she delivers some of the best laugh lines in the film.
Really? Would you agree that Lenny Bruce was probably the one who made everything turn just a little bit? He was the first one to take to the stage and took subjects that were so taboo and so unexplored and just went, not only are we going to explore them, we're going to tear them upside out.
Yeah, I'm no expert on Lenny Bruce, but he really challenged the norms and, you know, hit those taboos. Definitely ahead of his time, right? Mm-hmm.
You know, but thinking back in the Lenny Bruce time, you know, he was the first to do that and shock people with what he said, basically. And then other comics followed and did that. And now we're in a period where sometimes people think we're too politically correct. So are we moving backwards where comics might be afraid to tackle a topic?
I think if you look at Louis C.K. or Sarah Silverman, these can be, and Chris Rock, they're not afraid. They're all in the film, and they're all hilarious, and they're not afraid of offending anyone.
Yeah,
I think
we need it.
Yeah, I think that's where that's where release comes in. That's where catharsis comes in.
The other day, Grant Tinker died, who was in charge of MTM, Mary Tyler Moore's production company, and then later ran NBC for a little bit. But we played the clip of the Mary Tyler Moore show when Chuckles the Clown had died, and there's the funeral scene that Mary can't stop laughing at. And I think that was a big turning point on television anyway, even though now when you play it, it's pretty, it's not subtle, but it's something you go, wow, did they really take chances there? But for the 70s, they did. They, you know, they were saying death is something that is inevitable, and I guess it's okay to make fun of it. And they did.
And there was, not long ago, there was just last few months ago, the Norman Lear documentary, which, you know, was all about All in the Family and, you know, this pioneering comedy that was offensive, and you know, here we had this character who was racist and sexist, and and a lot of people were able to face those issues through that comedy.
Right.
It's a great talk. It's called Just Another Version of You, and it just you forget all that he has been responsible for in terms of pushing the boundaries of great television and tackling these issues. And it's just it's a wonderful film to be reminded of. All that has the progression we've made in TV, and hopefully what we'll continue to do now.
But how about this? A good storyteller, and Norman Lear was certainly a great storyteller, made a character that was so despicable. Archie Bunker was not a pleasant human being, but you so cared for him just because you get to see what made him what he was, you know, and a good documentary will do that too. It'll show you kind of every version of whatever the focal point is, right?
I think it touches on the humanity of the person, if it can, like if it can evoke that kind of empathy or understanding, you know, it's because that character feels very three-dimensional to us. And you know, again, you can understand a bit of where they came from or how they got to that point.
Yeah.
Not that you necessarily agree with it, but I think you have to go there first in order to move beyond it, to figure out, you know, ways through it, if you will.
And when you watched Archie Bunker, you would see maybe if you had some feelings like that, you'd go, boy, I shouldn't be thinking that way. So it's kind of to better yourself as well.
That's right. I think it's very cathartic for some people.
I was trying to think of a good example of a documentary where you have a character or people who, you know, initially seem difficult or challenging, and yet through the course of the film, you kind of sympathize with them. And we actually just locked our first film for next year's Doc 10 Film Festival in the end of March. And it's called The Island of the Whales, The Island and the Whales. And it's about a community that slaughters whales for their sustenance. And seeing some of those scenes, you're thinking, oh, this is horrible what they're doing. And yet you really understand this community, and then you start to sympathize with them. And then when Pamela Anderson shows up and says they need to stop.
As a flotation device or what?
No, she's an activist protecting the whales.
She is really into it.
Right. And so she shows up and you're like, what is Pamela Anderson doing here? And so you end up, your sympathies end up, you know, with the people maybe over Pamela.
But sometimes a documentary will do the opposite. I'm sure you're aware of Capturing the Friedmans, that shows your average typical American family, and then as the movie progresses, you go, "Uh-oh, there's some problems with that family." You know,
absolutely.
We're talking about the Doc 10 Film Festival. We'll give you more information in just a little bit, but you need to see it. It's fantastic. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Paula Froelich is here, co-founder and CEO of the second annual Doc 10 Film Festival. Anthony Kaufman also here, the film programmer. So much to talk about. Number one. What exactly is the Chicago Media Project? I know that's your website, chicagomediaproject.org. What is it, and how do people get involved in it?
So Chicago Media Project is a not-for-profit organization for people who love documentary films and believe in the power of their ability to bring about social change. And so we are a member-based organization. There are just over 50 of us, and these are folks who believe in supporting docs through things like going to the movie tonight, providing grants directly to the filmmakers to help them get the films finished, and also investing in documentaries because it's really, now's the time.
Yeah.
So you talk about social change with some of these documentaries, and I don't remember the name of that whale film you had just brought up.
Yeah, Islands in the Whales.
And that's going to be coming up at the Doc 10 event, which is happening at the end of March. So is anything going to change because of that film? I know I was telling you off the air, when you watch a documentary, you need to kind of put yourself in someone else's shoes and see life through their eyes. I cannot stand the thought of whales being killed and butchered, but I don't depend on that for my well-being and my living. And, you know, so is it going to change anything? Is it just going to make us aware of issues that are out there? How does that work?
I think, as you said, it's all about walking in someone else's shoes, and maybe I'll let Paula respond in terms of social change, but that's not, you know, going to change the world, but maybe that's a first step in sort of understanding other people.
Why and, people do something.
Yeah, and understanding other people's beliefs and being more sympathetic and empathetic, and maybe that's, you know, a first step.
You know where it worked for me? Remember the documentary that Lily Tomlin made about the treatment of elephants a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
That I had no idea that was going on, and I watched that documentary, and all of a sudden, I'm so careful about it.
And know, look, they've taken elephants out of circuses now.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it really does. It really can lead. I mean, because a lot of times, how many times do you hear people say, I just saw this documentary and I had no idea, right? It provides this window in on something that you really had no idea about. And nowadays, documentary filmmakers really use a lot of the narrative storytelling techniques. So the films are really compelling and engaging in a way that, along with learning about something you didn't know, you actually get to experience the lives of really rich and interesting people.
Yeah. I know this isn't fair to ask because we only have a couple of minutes, but part of this film, The Last Laugh, which deals with the taboos of comedy, features a Jerry Lewis film called The Day the Clown Cried. I heard about this story when I was in college. I've still never seen the film. I've seen clips of it. I know it's very, very hard to see this film. It's impossible to see this film. But if you wouldn't mind, explain a little bit about what The Day the Clown Cried is, the Jerry Lewis film.
I think you should explain that.
Should I?
Yeah.
All right. So he made a movie about a guy. Jerry Lewis made a movie. Now, this was Jerry Lewis, as we all know, the funny, wacky, crazy Jerry Lewis, made a movie that wasn't meant to be funny or wacky or crazy, about a guy whose job it was to lure people into the ovens in the death camps in Germany. Mm-hmm. And they made this movie, and it was just a disaster. And they buried it. I guess there's only two or maybe three copies of it. It's impossible.
I think
to
it's
see.
Out on YouTube.
I think it was just recently rediscovered. So it's a little more accessible now. Yep.
Yeah. So
I saw parts of it, and
I've seen some clips too.
It's really uncomfortable.
It's disturbing.
Yeah. But again, putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Now, I can't recall, was he there to lure them in or was he there to entertain them while they were waiting for their death?
A little bit of both. I mean, they were using them to get people into the showers.
Yeah, to distract people away from where they were headed.
Yeah.
You know, another one of the key films excerpted in the Last Laugh, the film tonight, is Life is Beautiful, which becomes this big talking point. You know, are you for or against it? Do you think it's funny or do you think it's offensive?
Yeah, similar subject matter in Life is Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And a movie, Jacob the Liar, that Robin Williams made also covers very similar territory as well.
But that's not funny.
No.
But Life is Beautiful is supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
I think, that's debatable.
Yeah.
We have to laugh. I mean, I know everybody's saying that we're too politically correct. You know what? You shouldn't say something that's going to offend someone, and you should try to treat others as you want to be treated, the golden rule. But when you're watching art and you're watching these things, it is important to see how the other side thinks. I think that's the open line to communication.
One of the lessons of the film is if you're going to make an offensive joke, it's got to be really good.
Super funny.
Yeah.
That's
the caveat.
Super funny.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If people want to see The Last Laugh, they do it by doing what exactly?
They go to the Music Box website and look for the listing.
Musicboxtheater.com.
Yes.
Or just they just show up. Yep. 7:15 tonight.
Good.
Very good. A preview of what's to come at the end of March, which is the whole Doc 10 Film Festival. Go see The Last Laugh tonight, Music Box Theater, musicboxtheater.com. Or as Anthony mentioned, you can just walk up and get tickets at the door.
So two websites we need to give out, chicagomediaproject.org is one, and the other one is doc10.org. Both of them will give you the information you're looking for. Paula, great to meet you. Anthony, great to meet you. And I hope the 50 does do something good with my daughter at school.
Sure.
I really do.
No problem.
Give him another 50, and she'll do better.
Exactly.
And she'll
right.
get an A.
All right.
All
right. Thanks, guys.
Nice to meet you.
Break, and then some news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.